You're listening to
How Yoshi Did It
Podcast with Yoshi Obayashi.
Don't you ever all be sad. Lean on me when times get bad. When the day come and I know you die in a river of trouble, you're about to drown. Hold on, time coming.
All right, welcome to probably Rosie Trans final appearance of my podcast.
Oh my gosh, what's going on? You're banning me?
No, I'm just, I've been dragging. I was going to have you one more time, Aiko Tanaka, then my episode, the last one. I want to interview this family. I haven't heard back from them, so end of the series. But I'm going to Seattle next week. I want to interview my friend Cliff Barnes. And Cliff is interesting because he's a very funny comedian, black dude, very funny dude. But he was there when I ended up choking a comic named Al Fox, a handicapped guy in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did Brody Stevens' show for Comedy Central, they cut that part out. But basically, he told him what happened. Then I told my story. So you have two different versions of stories, right?
Okay.
Then Cliff Barnes, a black comic who lived in Seattle for many years,
he cooperated with your story?
Seeing horrible things that, you know, a problem with the cops and the black people, whatnot. So he's seen a lot of shit, including 1999 World Trade Organization riots and shit like that. But he came up on the stage when they were filming it, 98% what happened, what I'm saying. Because it's ridiculous, it sounds, choking handicapped people. I don't go on doing stuff without a reason. You know, people have to cross the line. So I mean, interviewing my friend Cliff Barnes.
Yoshi, what was the show you did for Brody? What's Brody's show?
Brody used to have a show called Enjoy It on Comedy Central. He talked about when he had a mental breakdown and some of his celebrity friends talk about him. And
why did it get canceled?
I guess you should ask him, but like anything else, probably the rating was high enough to justify season two, I think.
Mm-hmm. So he had one season.
Mm-hmm. Which is more than most of us have.
That is more than most of us. That's more than me.
So Cliff Barnes, you know, and my friend D'Amico Williams, who was my boss at R&R Adult Toys. I hope I could interview him. And I had white people as bosses. I had Asian people bosses, and D'Amico, black manager. He was my best boss ever.
Hmm.
He has a sense of being fair and effective, and changed my life. So he really helped me when I was in trouble, and he's always been fair. That's all. As any Americans would tell you, all they want is fairness. You know. You don't have to agree with some of the management's decision, but as long as you've been heard and fair, that's all you ever want. He exemplified that. So hopefully get to interview him. My friend Dave Johnson, who I used to be roommate, he moved up to Washington State maybe 2 years ago. And if I'm lucky, my brother, but scheduling, he's busy working, you know, skateboarding and shit like that. So hopefully four from Washington. Today I'm doing it with you. Maybe one after I get out of medical lab on June 16th, which is my brother's birthday, too. Maybe Aiko, but you know what Aiko want to do? She kept bugging me about getting a Twitch.com and playing video games with her.
Because she doesn't know how to do it?
No, because she think if we do it, people are going to donate money. But, like, I haven't seriously played video games since, oh, my God, 2003? And even then, it was really half-assed, you know. It's just like, that's something I liked when I was a kid, but she think it will be popular because, not because we'll be good game players, because we're not, because she'll be insulting me and I'll be insulting her. She think that'll be translating to money, but I don't know. You know, listeners, you tell me. I've been away from video game for so long. So anyway, that's the intro. Of course, you know, everyone knows Rosie is a very funny comedian, but very shrewd about life.
I thought I was banned from your podcast because of the immigration talk last time.
I wasn't mad about that.
Because you were like, this is your last podcast with Yoshi Denton.
Oh, I was joking, but I think some people take it really I don't know. I think some people might have been annoyed, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with it too. But we all have positions, but unless you've been on the other side, I guess, you know. But of course, your family went through that too. I'm sure it wasn't easy for your father and mother coming here. I'm sure it wasn't easy for your brother in France, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. But I was just joking around with you, Yosh. I didn't realize. I thought you were winding down. Yosh, you didn't like last year.
No. I mean, I haven't released anything in 6 weeks.
Okay.
I'm so done. I'm just fixated with the number 150. Because you know that Dunbar 150? You know that term?
No, I don't.
Dunbar is, I think he's a sociologist. He believes that that
it's a good number?
Most of us could only have... I'm literally raping the whole idea.
You're misquoting it.
But he believed that most of us are able to only withstand about 100 to 150 people in our lives, like to have a close relationship.
You know, 100 to 150, that's a lot, Yoshi. I think I have 20. Obviously, I have a lot
not
of...
Not necessarily close, but like, you know, that's about right number. And I'm sure I haven't looked that up in a long time. So he theorized that some people who grew up in small town have a very difficult time adjusting city because there's too much
stimulation, people.
Too much stimulation, too many people, you know, and most people are like good at having acquaintance, people that associate to work every day up to 100, 150. So I kind of fixated with the number 150 by the time when I hit 100, like, oh, I could still go a little bit longer, but, you know.
But let's be honest, out of all the people you know, and I know a lot of people, I probably know thousands and thousands and thousands of people, just from doing comedy, doing shows, meeting people, socializing, living in a giant city like Los Angeles,
but
social media.
But close friends, probably
close
less
friends,
than your,
less than 20. Yeah. Less, I can handle less than 10 people. And actually, Andrew, my husband, was reading a study that the more intelligent you are, the less friends you need in your life. Have you heard that? He said the less intelligent you are, the more lower level friends you have in your life. But the more intelligent you are, the less friends you have in your life and the more close friends. Because the more intelligent you are, the more discerning you are with who you want to spend your time with.
That you have a less need for them?
Less emotionally a need, but also you want higher quality people. And as you know, it's very hard to find high quality people. So the more intelligent you are, the less friends you have and the higher quality friends you have.
Like Unabomber. I mean, he was smart, right? I think he was misguided, but...
It was just funny the way you said that, Yoshi. I don't know, like, the Unabomber.
I think that sounds like it has a shade of a lot of truth, but like... Like a part of the reason, like I like a person like Charlie Rose, because he's constantly interviewing interesting people, right? So it's fun to meet someone like Charlie Rose because he's already an interesting guy. He reads a lot. He has traveled a lot. He knows a lot about life. But in addition to that, he has a really interesting job. He gets to interview interesting people that most of average person don't have access to. So I guess it depends on the person too. I would imagine some people are very smart, but they're also like. Doesn't like being lonely. I don't think that makes that person dumb, you know. Just I think some people need people, and whereas well, what does that mean? Like retarded people need a lot of people then? I mean, I don't think it's wrong. I think there's some truth in that, but I also
think there's some truth in it because I tend to not want to waste my time with people that are low-level people. You know, people who
God, Miss Fancy Pants over here.
Well, Yoshi, you're in my circle, so.
That seemed like a questionable choice.
Yoshi, you're very interesting, and you've been very loyal.
Well, so are dumb dogs. I mean.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but
you're missing a dog. Let's start crying now.
No, but also. I don't know. I think it's true. I think it's true, not just because of me, but I have noticed the more I grow my brain and the more I grow my business and the more I grow things in my life, I tend to want to get rid of people who are energy sucks, who are low level energy sucks.
Oh, that I could understand.
Yeah,
sure.
Come on, low level people suck your energy. They're whiny, they're complaining, they're always drama. You want people who are going to have a reciprocal relationship where you create value for them and they create value for you.
Sure.
Where they're not just taking from your life, right?
Sure. You want. It's like if you're playing tennis, if you're playing somebody way better than you, just simply just playing against that person, he or she, you get better, right? So of course, you want to surround somebody smarter than you because you could learn a lot from them too, you know? But there are people that I remember in my life, maybe they're not as well-read or book smart, but they have who's the guy that wrote the emotional IQ?
Like, oh, EQ, yeah.
Yeah, the so EQ there experience. Are people are maybe they're not well-read, but they're very astute in emotionally.
But that's a form of intelligence.
Yeah.
So to say, well, maybe they're not well-read or they're not that intelligent. They are intelligent, but they have a different type of intelligence. So there's different types of intelligence, emotion. There's physical intelligence. There's people who may not be that, quote-unquote, intelligent,
wait,
bright.
Wait, oh, that made me, you know, I never heard that before, but you know what, physical intelligence, is that another way of saying pretty and ugly people?
No, Yoshi, there's physically intelligent people, for example, athletes. There are so many athletes that have that mind-body connection where they can, you know, as you know, I'm not a crazy sports fan, but they can remember plays in their mind and they can integrate what's in their mind with their bodies. And that is a form of extreme intelligence, but maybe they're not that good at finance or maybe
no,
they're
no,
not.
I know what you're saying because the things an athlete do, they don't even know it's almost like instinct, right?
Yes.
Like physicists could tell you why, because I met Jason Giambi before, the baseball player, and his hand-eye coordination and his vision is so much better than average person. It's unbelievable that somebody's throwing a ball at almost 100 miles an hour, a split second, and they just have this intuitive skill, repetitive practice over the years, able to do things that most people can't.
And that's physical intelligence.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, maybe I, you know, can talk about Carl Jung and all these psychologists and make jokes about whatever, which is a form of intelligence. But if you throw a ball at me at 0.1 mile an hour, I'm not going to be able to catch it, Yoshi. It's going to hit me in the head.
But it's fun to associate yourself to people like that and talk. And because they're not necessarily athlete, but is it Manuel Blahnik, that shoesmaker?
Yes.
Here's a guy, and the guy who does Christian Louboutin shoes. These are the people who has hand-eye coordination and a taste, and you know they're able to make these shoes, right? Who's that actor from My Left Foot? Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis.
He took a year off. He went to Italy, learned to make shoes, you know, because he was just fascinated by that.
He also makes furniture. He has a furniture
business.
Business in like Ireland or something. Don't quote me, but I think it's in Ireland.
Yeah. So, people like that are always interesting. They have an interesting hobby outside of their work.
But you want to surround yourself with people like that. I'm not saying, you know, I'm sitting around having tea with Kate Middleton, but I'm saying you don't want to be around.
Yeah, you don't have a like before the door, you make them take IQ tests. If you don't pass, you don't get into this house.
You can't hang out with Rosie Tran and her husband and her dog. No, but I don't want, you know, low-level scrubby takers in my life, and I'm sure you have the same experience. And sometimes you might not always be wealthy or smart or intelligent in the quote-unquote typical way, but you still have some value to bring. You know, I know that you know what I'm talking about, Yoshi, because have a lot of relationships where people, you know, your friends are wealthy or whatever. You don't have that to offer them, but you offer them loyalty or, you know, you're unwaveringly loyal. That is a very hard thing to find these days. Or you have some type of connection or thing where you can bring that person a value.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, Yoshi's my friend. It's not a mean thing. Like they're looking at you as if you're just someone who can bring them something.
Sure.
But it's a reciprocal relationship.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I was asking questions, because I know you didn't mean it like that. And, some of these scumbag trolls, you know, like take like one line of that
from the podcast,
15-minute conversation, and
they start tweeting at me. Yeah, oh, who do you think you are, Rosie Tran, the Queen of England?
Stuff like that. So,
but yes, and I would advocate for all listeners and all people in their lives to look through your life at your friends, because there's always one friend that's just a taker, and you've been keeping them around a little bit too long than you should have, and just get rid of them. I mean, I don't want to be mean. Human beings are not disposable. But there's some people in your life who are takers.
Parasites. Yeah.
They're parasites. They just suck the life energy. They always need something from you. They never bring you any value. You know, they're always in drama.
Yeah.
That's the biggest red flag you can find, is someone who always has drama in their life.
Right.
And they can't figure out why.
The reason why I still give benefit of that, because even though I had problems with certain members of my family, one of my relatives said, like, even if you miss someone supposedly quote unquote dumber than you or lower class, everyone knows something that you don't know, you know.
But
you
that's know what true.
I
mean?
You know. So, if I meet someone like on paper, it seems like it's not good for me, but I still give them a little bit of a chance, because you know it's like when you 49ers, all those people who came to California in 1849 looking for gold, right? So sometimes if I meet someone, my gut feeling tells me, like, okay, on the paper, this person doesn't seem like worth my time, but I will give them secondary chance and like a talk to them a little bit, because I might shift through that person and find something that interesting, you know?
It's true. So, and everyone does have something interesting about them, but you don't want to be in a relationship where this person has 1% interesting about them and you have the 80% interesting, because then it's just like a one trick pony. And a lot of people are like that. I know people who tell the same repetitive stories over and over and over again, and they have nothing.
Yes. And we call those people Alzheimer's victims. So anyway, I always do it individual cases, you know, because it's kind of like, to me, if I want to associate somebody, it's kind of like you're like the Stanford enrollment, right? So sometimes you find someone with like perfect grades, perfect SAT score, but interview them like
they're boring
and maybe not a good for Stanford, even though academically on the paper that person seemed to have every qualification to be there. But let's say I find some kid from inner city, not necessarily the highest SAT, and maybe the grades is not as pristine as others, but you talk to that person and see how clever and ingenious how the way they survive in those inner cities, and bring life experience that maybe it'll be beneficial for the class. So I try to like do a little bit
balance
of that.
It out,
yeah,
right?
Balance it out. Yeah,
I would always take the kid from the inner city if they were more interesting. You know, I'm anti the boring perfect score. People who are perfect score people to me are people I don't want to talk to, because they're brainwashed by the system to be completely boring.
Yeah.
So I'd rather find, you know, the homeless person who plays the violin or whatever.
Because, you know, I don't know how much time we have a chance to talk about it. Maybe we have a chance.
I know, because Game of Thrones is on in like 30 minutes.
I ask you to look, you know, I know you didn't have a time to read the book. I'm almost done with American Girls by Nancy Jo Sells.
I did read the articles you sent me, and I watched the YouTube video.
Girls and Sex by Peggy Orenstein, and she's the one that Google Talk that I sent it to you. And you know, just look up their stuff. It's really interesting, ladies and gentlemen. You should read them.
I want to talk to you about something that they addressed with the. First of all, I totally agree with some of the comments. I can't remember if it was Nancy Jo or Peggy that talked about this, but they were talking about how...
If you're talking about one in a Google, it was Peggy, I believe.
But I don't remember which thing, because I went through all of it this weekend. So there's this belief that the current society, because of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that the millennial generation or Generation Z or whatever is super narcissistic.
Right.
But all these kids are learning it from their parents. You know, parents.
I agree. Yeah.
Parents are posting pictures of kids and sharing everything and tweeting everything and texting everything. And so I think these kids, you know, I don't like when people blame this generation's really self-centered. Well, where do you think they got it from?
They say that about every generation,
that they're selfish.
Yeah, it's like 1066. You know, they just kicked the French out of England, And they're probably sad about those kids.
They're so selfish.
Who didn't fight, you know? So I think every generation always think previous generation is better. It was. But it was bad too. You know, like, I mean, life is a huge category. So, of course, if time passed, things change. Of course, some things are better before, but some things are horrible in the past too. But you're absolutely right. Because they were saying a couple things that was interesting. 92% of American children are online by 2 years old. And this is what the Nancy Jo Sales call sharenting, where intention is good because they're so proud of their children. That's why they're online. That's why they're there. But you're absolutely right. Narcissism and all this behavior, kids learn from their parents because either Peggy Orenstein or Nancy Joselle, one of them said, it's funny if you go any malls in America where sometimes you can't tell mother and daughter because they both dress same trashy ways, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, I mean, not just that, but it's, you know, I know so many parents,
yeah,
friends of mine and older friends of mine who are your age who have kids, mm-hmm, and they tell their kids that they're on the phone too much. They go, get off the phone, you're on too much. And then you look over and you see the parents texting or on their phone, or sure, they have their phone in their face. So it's a do as I say, not as I do. You're sitting there lecturing your kids about not being on the phone, and then you're sitting there with your iPhone glued to your head. So it's definitely...
Well, I made an effort whenever I'm having conversation with someone, lunch or dinner or whatever,
to put your
coffee,
phone down, right?
I put that away. But we have a mutual friend who always apologize because nothing tell you like you're not worth my time, like constantly checking your cell phone, you know?
And I don't think it says that unconsciously. I think people don't realize that they're saying it unconsciously. What they're thinking in their mind is, I'm so self-important, I need to take this call and I need to take this text.
Yeah.
And you're not as important, but they're not thinking of it in those terms. But yeah. I mean, this has been going on even before social media. This has been going on before cell phones. People that are chronically late. When you're chronically late, you send the message that I'm more important than you.
Yeah.
I can take my time getting ready and your time is not worth it. So, for example...
I'm very guilty of that too. Because I was supposed to be here at 4, but I got here at 5:05.
Well, you were walking, so that's a little different. But you're pretty reliable, Yoshi. But I'm talking about people... I have girlfriends, cousins that spend 2 hours putting their makeup on.
Yeah.
So they'll set a time...
Let's be honest, some of them needs a lot of makeup.
So they'll set a time, 7 o'clock for dinner, and then they'll be there at 8 o'clock. I'm sitting there waiting for an hour because they're putting on makeup on. So their subconscious message is, Rosie, me looking beautiful is more important than my respect of your time. So it doesn't have to be, you know, there's that, you know, a phrase, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah.
The internet, just like when you win the lottery, they say when you win the lottery, you know, the reason that a lot of people lose money when they win the lottery is because nothing has changed. They're the same person. They just have money now.
Yeah.
Right? And so they still don't know how to deal with money. So it's the same thing with society. Society's still the same, but now we have more methods of expressing what we would have done anyway.
Sure.
Right?
And I have such a mixed feeling because on one hand, generally speaking, women in this country live better than most people in the rest of the planet.
Yes.
Generally speaking, it's hard to argue with that. But it doesn't mean the girls doesn't have suffered. They of course suffer. It's you know, we all have problems. So when I go to places, when I've been to places in Afghanistan, those girls, I don't know why I'm laughing, those girls deal with problems like we can't even imagine. You know, it's a horror flick, you know? So we wish you help them and they have problems. But for me, reading these two books, well, at least one of them, and reading more about, I will read The Girls and Sex by Peggy Orenstein hopefully later.
So I'm not that against suffering, Yoshi. I'm not that against suffering. Can you honestly tell me that some of the suffering you have had in your life hasn't built your character and person and who you are? I'm not against, you know, something mm-hmm. new comes up, you know, next thing you know, it's cyber bullying. Next thing you know, girls are being told they're sluts online. Next thing you know, it's blah, 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 blah. I think that kind of stuff is good for you. I remember in 2004, 2005, I had one of the first blogs online, period. I'm not talking about the first comedy blogs. I had one of the first blogs online, period. It was an extremely popular blog. I took it down because I had a crazy...
You got bullied.
No, I was severely bullied. I was severely bullied. I remember getting hate mail on a daily basis from comedians in Los Angeles because this is before anyone had a blog.
Is that how your mother was communicating with you?
Thanks, Yoshi. My mom didn't know how to use the internet back then, but very funny.
No, I know what you're saying. That's a necessary part of life, but I wonder sometimes unnecessary sufferings, you know? And
it's totally unnecessary.
You're going to have suffering no matter what. You're just going to live. And
but that built me to who I am today. You can send me hate mail now, and I just delete it. I'm like, okay, whatever. But you know, yeah, I was 19, 20 years old getting hate mail from probably 34-year-old men saying, "How dare you have a blog? Who the hell do you think you are to have a blog?"
Oh, so you got my emails.
Thanks, Yoshi.
It's interesting what you're saying, because I like these two ladies, what they're saying, but the polar opposite of what they're saying is one of my favorite writer, Camille Paglia. She is, you know, she wrote a book called Sex and Your Persona, but she was saying, I might be misquoting, but when I listen to her, sometimes white women...
Okay. Giving me a look.
White women are more, in general, generally speaking, more privileged than, say, other minority females. And because they have such a high standard for having a happy life and kind of expected of, they have a tendency maybe need to complain more. Whereas if you're black and Latinos, you don't really have time to complain because you deal with something even bigger problems, like not getting shot going to school. You know, like, you don't really worry about sexting when somebody's trying to shoot you or murder you, right? That doesn't mean that white women don't have problems. They do. I'm just saying, sometimes I can't differentiate, like, is this a female problem, or you could break down female problem by different ethnic groups, you know? Like, eating disorder, being fat, you know, that's
Asian, white.
You know, I think eating disorder, I'm not saying Hispanic and black women don't have eating disorder, but when you stereotypically say black women have an eating disorder, during Ethiopia, they don't have enough food to eat, right? But, like, I think black women and Latino, to some extent, I think they've learned to deal with those body image better, you know.
Well, first of all, they're more accepting of body image issues in that community.
Yeah.
It's more...
I know somebody's going to say... You hurt my feeling, or you don't know what you're talking about. I mean,
I'm an anorexic black woman, and Yoshi, yeah. You've offended me.
I'm just saying, generally speaking, it just seemed like.
Oh my God, Andrew's queuing up Game of Thrones already. He's ready. He's ready.
Yeah. He doesn't give a shit about women's issue. He just wants to see women get murdered.
He doesn't care about the Yoshi Dutton podcast. He's ready. He's ready in the background.
And he's not going to say no, because what we're saying is actually completely accurately true. He just wants that fucking show to start. People stop talking in his dining room where he pays the rent and the utility, because 8 minutes to Armageddon. See, I'm looking at the back of his head, and I know his face is a big smile, because I'm true. That's how big of a smile when somebody's watching in front of HBO Go, because the show's ready to go. Rosie Tran could be on fire like that little Vietnamese girl from the Vietnam War. He could not give a shit, because Game of Thrones will be on seven and a half minutes. And he doesn't say anything, because it's all true.
And you guys better be done with your stupid podcast in my living room.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think black and Latino women just learn to deal with more difficult issues. Even like women's right, women's suffrage. You know, Susan B. Anthony, all these wonderful people that made it available, fight for women's right to vote. But probably, most likely, you didn't see a lot of black and Latino women, because they probably had to work and they don't have luxury to do stuff like that. Anyway, women, white people are a cultural construct, and people just assume when you talk about something normal, you just think automatically white is normal and their happiness is normal. So when you say, Michael Jordan, black athlete, they just don't say athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think...
Well, they do that with me. People will say female comic or Asian comic. I don't know if you get Asian comic.
Yeah, it's you know, because
I'm not just a
because
comedian.
Being Asian is not normal, even though there's more Asian people than white people. I'm not attacking white people. I'm just saying this is just the reality.
I think there's more Asian people than any other ethnicity on earth, right?
Yeah,
more than African, more than. Right, with the Chinese, and if you consider in East Indian or
so,
East Asian.
And by the way, we're going back and forth because I just went to see that movie, Civil War, Captain America.
They had a
trailer for Doctor Strange, and people are upset about this because
the character was supposed to be Asian, right?
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch, unbelievable actor. Unbelievable actor. In fact, today, if you have a chance, ladies and gentlemen, a new BBC production of Shakespeare. This is like a sequel to the one they make a couple years back. But Benedict Cumberbatch plays Richard III, War of Roses. And if you think Game of Thrones is terrible, how people are murdered, I've seen the trailer. Game of Thrones is basically based on War of Roses, where different faction in England were killing each other. The Lancasters and Plantagenet. I don't think I'm saying it right, but it's an unbelievable production with all this. You know the guy who plays the father in Downton Abbey?
Yes.
He's in it. He's in this drama.
Can I tell you, do you know the nickname for female Benedict Cumberbatch fans?
Cumberbatch?
Cumberbitches?
Cumberbitches, yeah.
And it's considered an endearing term.
Oh, yeah. So I saw some show where all these Asian women flew from Japan and China to just be in the audience. And, you know, it's amazing. I like him for different reasons, obviously, you know. But he's a terrific actor. But anyway, in Doctor Strange, he's a main character. There is this Asian character to kind of teach him about life and martial art, I guess. I saw the trailer, but that character is supposed to be Asian, but it's played by I can't even say it, something Swenson, Twelda Swenson, the actress, Irish actress.
She's teaching him about martial arts?
She's
Twelda Swinton.
Yeah.
I'm totally offended by this. and I never get offended.
I don't care. I mean, I'm not. I'm Asian with
you. They couldn't get Jackie Chan. I'm offended. I'm not offended. I'm not offended because she's a white lady. I'm offended because she does not look like someone that knows martial arts. And I'm not saying that in a racist way. But I'm saying that, and she's a tall, awkward white lady.
Yeah, but you know, Rosie, have you ever heard of this thing called acting?
I have heard of this thing called acting. However, Tilda Swinton does not look like she knows martial arts at all.
She looks great. I mean, I don't care. I'm not like this Asian American group gets upset.
I don't care if the person's Asian, but they have to look like she's very awkward looking. She looks like an evil villain.
Well, she's in it, and I'm sure she'll be good in it. And just like, I think, we'll stop in a few minutes. Andrew probably know that comic book Ghost in the Shell. I always get that title wrong, but it's a Japanese comic book made into movie, and the main character is Japanese girl. But it'll be played by Scarlett Johansson. First of all, talk about somebody that doesn't look like Kick-Ass. I like her, and I think it's a good idea because she's a star power. It's going to make a lot of money. It's a show business. So don't believe me. I'm not hating on her. I think she's great. But she has, you know, she's short with big boobs. So like whenever she's kicking and stuff, it just makes me laugh. Like, come on. Somebody that look like that can't fight. Whatever.
You think Scarlett Johansson looks like she can't fight, but you think Tilda Swinton looks like she can't fight?
She looked like she could fight because she's tall and skinny. And I know most Asian people are tall. I mean, like a lanky body, but they're able to do martial arts.
I don't think Tilda Swinton looks like she can do any martial arts.
Looks more believable than...
She looks more believable than Scarlett Johansson, but she still doesn't look that believable.
She looks more believable to me. But here's the thing. If you look at the Ghost in the Shell, I have the title wrong. Just because you have a main character with a Japanese name, but if you look at the picture, it looks like a white person. They just make the character big eyes, put a Japanese name. Sorry, Scarlett looks more like that character. She doesn't have an Asian name. But I'm not an idiot. She did a movie called...
What about Emily Blunt? Emily Blunt looks like she could kick some ass.
She is perfect.
Emily Blunt. See, that's what I'm saying. I'm not against the white part of the casting. I get it. It's Hollywood.
It's that movie with Tom Cruise, right? She looks so fucking believable.
I totally get it. I get it. We're in Hollywood. It's white people land. Whatever. I get it. But at least cast someone that fits it. That's what bugs me when people are so miscast because their agent or their manager or whatever. It's like, it doesn't fit. I think Emily Blunt would be great. She's white.
No, she looks like
she looks like she could kick ass.
Yeah,
she was
100%
agreed. She was in that movie we just saw. What was that called, Andrew? Sicario. Sicario, where she was a undercover.
Sicario,
yeah, where she was like a drug.
Yeah.
Drug enforcement, FBI, whatever.
And she was in that movie, another one based on manga, Tom Cruise and her. She looked like...
She could kick ass,
yeah,
right?
In fact, let's be honest, I like Tom Cruise, but he looked more like the girl of that movie, and she looks like the man.
Yeah, so she's a white chick, but she looks like she could kick ass. Scarlett Johansson doesn't look like she could kick ass. Tilda Swinton seriously doesn't look like she could kick ass.
But when these Asian groups get upset about it, I always remind them, I don't think there is an Asian actress could bring star power and the financial revenue to a movie like Scarlett Johansson. She did that movie, Lucy. It was all right, but it brought almost $500 million. You can't argue with that number, you know? I'm just saying.
You can't argue with blonde and big boobs.
Yeah, so... you know, I'm just
saying.
Look,
Asian people out there who are offended, you can't argue with big titties, all right?
So I'm not hating it, but I also know reality, and is English the best language in the world? No. Is there other language that more people speak it? Yes. What's the language the most dominant? English.
What's the most spoken language? Hindi?
Mandarin probably is up there, and I'm not sure in India because there's so many languages, but you could probably pick one of the like hundreds of languages over there. But yeah, Punjabi, Hindi is one of those are pretty big, but Mandarin.
You think it's Mandarin's number one?
Mandarin's is pretty up there, and Spanish I'm sure is up there too, you know. But which one is the most practical and powerful language out of all of them? I don't think very few people, even sorry French people, but it's English. Get over it. It's just your days are done.
Get over it.
Yeah,
it's big titties in English. God damn it.
French is beautiful, but it's when it comes down to it, English dominant.
It looks pressing play. He doesn't care about us at all. Oh.
Okay, we'll stop and we'll talk about American Girls by Nancy Jo Sells, Girls and Sex.
We're talking about Game of Thrones, all right?
We'll talk more about it because a lot of the stuff that we talk about girls kind of it's related to Game of Thrones. So anyway, we'll be back in about an hour. I got to stop now because Cranky Andrew's going to punch me in the face if I don't stop right now. Oh, they just turned off the light. Okay, bye. All right, we're back. Before I jump in with Rosie Tran about... we're going to talk about Game of Thrones, a couple other things that we were talking about previous hour ago. I want to thank Cameo Cinema in San Helena in Napa Valley. It's one of the oldest single screen movie theater in America, west of Mississippi. So if you're in Napa Valley and San Helena, go check out this movie theater and say hi to Kathy Buck. She's been a friend of the show and been wonderful. And, you know, if you've never been to Napa Valley, I highly recommend you guys visit. It's a wonderful place to visit. And Kathy, in my opinion, is the unofficial mayor of the Napa Valley. So go check out Cameo Cinema in St. Helena, Napa Valley. And Rosie, how do you pronounce Amanda's last name? McCrossin?
McCrossin?
Yeah. Amanda lives at Kathy's place, and she is sommelier in Napa Valley. And check her Instagram handle. She gives a case of wine every week. And how would you say that? Saint Vivant?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you spell that? On SOMMVIVANT. Instagram, follow her, and guys, apply for that in her Instagram account because they send one case of wine from Napa Valley.
That's
every
a
week.
Lot.
Yeah, she works at a really fancy restaurant. I mean, it's like two or three Michelin star restaurant in Napa Valley. And if you want anything to do, learn about winery, she's a person to go.
Have you been to the restaurant?
They took me because my friend Jason Buck, who contact me listening to me on my podcast and others. And remember the guy I was told you, like, he did consulting work for someone and they paid him $500 and he didn't care for it. So he emailed me if I want the money. He just sent me the money too.
That's nice.
So he's one of those kind of guys, smart. And the Buck family is wonderful. His mom owns Cameo Cinema in St. Helena, and her roommate Amanda, you know, Saint Vivant Instagram, they give wine every Monday. They ship it out free. All you have to do is follow Instagram. And
so you follow it, and then what do you do? You put your name in, or what?
Yeah, you send it in, and It's like sweepstakes. They have a collection of names every week, and she pulled their name out and sent that wine and a case of them. So she was nice enough to send one to Sasha Gray. So
wow.
And finally, I'm helping my friend Angie Crum, Jonathan Bransky, and of course my roommate Randy Puga. They're starting a comedy show every Tuesday in K-Town. It's called Night School. And
Why did they use the name Night School?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's during the weekdays. It's almost like having fun going to school, I guess. You know how... You know how fun it was going to school, Rosie. But it's every Tuesday, the Palm Tree in K-Town, 3240 Wilshire Boulevard, number 401, Los Angeles, California. And the doors open at 8:30 p.m. And if you have any questions, you could call at 702-241-2707.
And you guys have some pretty big acts, like Jim Florentine's coming out, right?
Yeah, 2 days from now, which is May 10th, we have Lachlan.
From Last Comic Standing.
Yes.
Lachlan Patterson.
Week two, we have Eddie Eft, and I'm opening for him. Week three, we have a special guest, George Perez, and of course, Rosie Tran doing her Vietnamese comedy magic for us.
Yeah, I pull out a napalm from my vajayjay.
Oh, my God. And week four, I can't even remember, but we'll be putting the list, you know, just follow the Facebook, Instagram, Twitter account.
And Angie's hosting, right? Yeah. Every week, Angie Crum is hosting.
And our Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter handle is at Nice School K-Town. It's exactly spelled out the way it is. At Nice School K-Town.
So, it's the Instagram page.
Anyway, what the hell was that sound?
That's our refrigerator burping.
All right, so we're back. We'll talk a little bit of the stuff that we were talking before, but overall, it's always exciting time at Rosie and Andrew's household on Sundays. That's your football, right?
Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Well, you were the one who got me addicted.
It's good, right?
I wasn't into Game of Thrones until Yoshi bought me season one.
And it's one of the best I've done for you. So what did you think about this episode?
Are you okay to talk about it? Are you releasing this week? Or are fans going to be mad and send you hate mail and death threats like when you were posting Instagram pictures of Jon Snow?
If you don't want us to talk about it, stop listening to it now for next... half an hour,
I guess. Did you really get death threats, Yoshi? Be honest.
Emails. But what does that even mean when people put a comment, I'm going to kill you, this and that? Like, it's all nonsense. They're trying to get response out of you.
And did you
only
respond?
Babies make threats, you know? Because anytime I had a physical violence, I never threatened anybody. I either kick, choke, or punch somebody in the face.
Right. No warning.
Yes. It's called Pearl Harbor style.
Oh, can you please explain to me why you tweeted this picture of a little boy that is actually 45 at me?
Oh, it was late at night. I was falling asleep, and I wanted to do something. But that white lady, it's in my Instagram, by the way. That lady, she's famous for like lingerie and things like that. So she was speaking in Vietnam, promoting her product. And this person walked up with a flower. She thought it was a kid. But this is like 46-year-old Vietnamese guy and looked like a kid. So she grabbed him like a child, hugged him. And his wife was pissed. She says, that's my husband. You don't grab people like that. But he loved it because she's a big blonde with big boobs, you know.
But why does this guy so short? Does he have a disease? Is he just like is it because it's in Vietnam and they're really short? I don't understand.
Short is one thing, but look at his face. He looked like a child. I'm not even joking. Looks like a kid, doesn't he?
He looks like a kid. So why would the wife get upset? It's like your hubby looks like a little boy.
Because he was enjoying it, and no wives want their husband to be happy. Believe me. Andrew laughs because it's so true. Anyway, stop playing with your cell phone.
I wanted to know why, and I was looking at your Instagram to see your picture that you were getting death threats from.
Oh, that one. It just okay. This is what happened. I was traveling all night from Vegas, and I was tired. I was up all night. And I was coming home from Vegas with Eichel, and I can't sleep. I can't sleep in the plane, I can't sleep in the bus, I can't sleep, you know, I just can't sleep. So I was up all night.
And also Eiko was beating you in the face and showing you pictures of little creatures hugging each other.
So I thought for a minute, like, well, we've been silly worrying about this fictional character, Jon Snow, whether he's alive or not. And of course, I find out that night he's alive. And I thought we were being very silly worrying about his life when he's not even a real person, when a black child in Cleveland was shot last year because he was simply holding a gun, maybe 2 years ago. But I just thought, we just need to put things in perspective. Well, people got mad because I deliberately trying to ruin, being spoiler. I was trying to make a point, like, we should worry more about real people. Nobody
said, Yoshi, good point. Black Lives Matter. They said, no.
They say, fuck the black kid. Fuck the black kid. I have nothing else to be angry about. So I'm mad of you for spoiling the fun or whatever. But I mean, I didn't mean to do it. But it's weird. You know, like I was telling you before we were recording, I'm not running around in people's face and say, Jon Snow's alive. You're following my account. Don't follow it then. One of the person complaining, you know, said, you're not supposed to put stuff like that. Complain what I put in my own account. I don't tell him not to put fat people on his Instagram account. And everyone, him and his family are fat. So,
okay. So let's talk about Game of Thrones. Where the hell is Littlefinger?
So we just watched episode three
of season six, and I want to know where Peter Baelish is, because he's been MIA since he dropped Sansa off with Mr. Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah,
where is he? What he said? I was told from him, as if I personally know him, and I'm on the show, that he was going to visit Cersei Lannister. Then she got swept off
because she received a letter via Raven, which Roose Bolton looked the letter, even though it wasn't his letter. And, you know, because Roose was very suspicious of Littlefinger. But let's be honest, they're both suspicious characters.
So he was like, okay, I'm off to go talk to Cersei. And then he's been missing for four episodes.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where Littlefinger is.
Last episode from season five. First three episodes is just season six. But, you know, there's only one word you need to know about him: scheming. He's always scheming. He would change side whenever it benefits him. So
Arya Stark is being beat, having her head and legs and arms beat to death, and I knew she was going to get her sight back.
Yeah, just like Jon Snow going to get his life back.
They're being predictable / unpredictable.
But this is the third episode where you have flashback. Well, yeah, it is flashback, but today's one's a little different, right? It's not flashback. He's going back in time. I guess it is still flashback, right?
Yeah, it's still flashback. It's funny because in the behind the scenes of episode two, the creators are like, flashbacks are lazy storytelling, and then they put flashbacks in.
Yeah. And in what little studies I've done, like few minutes after the show was over, people are complaining about that fighting scene where you have the two Targaryen warriors guarding the tower. And if you follow it as deeply as we do, you know Lysa Stark. Am I saying her name right? She's there, pregnant with a baby, but she's dying as well. I mean, that's how Ned Stark finds her.
I thought it was Elena Stark. Lysa is...
I'm not saying it right. Yes, that's
Lysa's Catelyn's sister. She was the one that was pushed through the moon door.
Right. How do you say her name?
I thought it was Elena Stark. I'm gonna Google this because I'm saying it totally wrong.
I'm probably saying it wrong too. You saw her in the previous episode where she was riding a horse. Remember with the
Ned Stark? Yeah.
That's the girl. In episode three, she's pregnant, and she's heading in the tower.
Yeah, Elena Stark. Yeah.
And
she's pregnant with Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And then Ned gets Jon Snow and takes him as his son and tells Catelyn that he cheated on her, but really it's his sister's.
Well, at least that's the theory. And if you're hearing this and you're upset, well, you know, don't listen to my podcast, even though I'm Indian, sir. No, that the formula they always talk about is L plus R equals J.
Yes.
And L is the sister, R for Rhaegar Targaryen, and J is supposed to be Jon Snow. But my theory is L and R equals J because Japanese people can't say the L and R. Anyway, some people are complaining about that scene, that they didn't like it.
Why?
Because they want to see Ned Stark go up and they follow him through the tower and find his dying sister with Jon Snow in her arm.
Oh, you mean they're mad that they cut it off?
Yeah, they want to see more. But the reason you don't see it because HBO is going to have a prequel. It'll be insane if they don't do a prequel, you know? The war with Mad King and all that stuff. It's going to happen. It's going to have a new batch, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, they're sucking people in.
What?
They're sucking people in.
I mean, it's the best show. It's absolutely the best show. I'm watching Night Manager right now, The Americans, and all these great, wonderful shows, but nothing moves people like Game of Thrones. I mean, I have friends overseas. I mean, they just love the show.
I know. It's bringing tourism to Spain and all those places they're shooting.
And we were complaining little before we went to break about white people, but man, white people are so important. Watching the Game of Thrones.
There's some brownie people in the Daenerys' slave area.
Those are Spanish people pretending to be whatever ethnic group. Because they're filming that in Spain. And did you know the unemployment is like between 50 to 55, 60%?
See, HBO's bringing
work
employment
for young people, yeah.
They're bringing extra work to Spain. You can be one of Khaleesi's followers or one of the slaves in the Harpy.
Can I tell you something? There's another reason why I never liked that Targaryen girl, because she's called Khaleesi, right? That word makes me sad every time I hear it.
Why?
Did you ever meet the guy from Opie and Anthony, segment producer?
I don't know. Did
Steve Khaleesi?
Oh, when he died, right?
He killed himself. Yeah. So every time I hear that name, like, oh no, I just, it's not the same spelling, but it's the same pronunciation.
That's very sad. I thought you were going to say something because it sounds like a black girl's name, and she's like white with blonde hair.
I don't like her. She looks great with brunette, which is to her natural color. I don't like that fake blonde. I hate it. Never liked it.
They have to make her stick out and make her look weird looking.
I know, but I just fucking hate it.
Khaleesi.
So I don't care about the narrative. I like Tyrion and Varys, but I don't care about
their storyline's boring. It's boring. They're sitting around. They're like not doing anything.
Yeah,
they're
like,
waiting for Khaleesi. Khaleesi's storyline is boring.
I don't care about that. I like the North. I like everything about the North. I like everything about the North with Ramsay. I like Sansa, Jon Snow, Davos, the Red Woman. I think it's terrific. And today we saw one of the Stark boys alive, which I always knew he was alive. But
yeah, also they need to shoot this like fast and now, because those Stark boys were like 10 when the series started. They're supposed to be 12 or 13 and they look like they're 19.
Sure.
So they need to start filming and filming fast.
Well, they're saying there's two more seasons, supposedly season.
They should have filmed the Stark boys straight out all of 6 or 7 or 8 of their seasons in the first 2 years, because they're growing so fast.
Yeah.
And it doesn't match. That's the problem with using kid actors.
True. But, you know, it's people will look that stuff, you know, like,
I mean, the kid was 10. He's supposed to be like 12 now. It's only been a couple years and he looks like he's 24, 19 or 20.
Well, I mean, Batman did change. What's her name? They used to be married to Tom Cruise.
Oh, Katie Holmes.
Went to Maggie Gyllenhaal, you know?
Yeah, like in the middle of the movie.
So, stuff like that. But overall, I think...
Is it because Katie Holmes couldn't do the movie?
I like the... What?
Is it because Katie Holmes couldn't do the movie?
I don't know what was the problem. Oh, I don't know about that. I know the guy who plays Khaleesi's boyfriend / bodyguard, they changed him because the guy who was original, he got a gig for movie or TV show as a star.
So I was wondering why they did that in the middle of... I was like, why did they change to the guy from Tremé?
And Tommen, who is the king of Lannisters, I mean king of King's Landing, he played one of the dead Lannister voice a couple seasons back. That was him. So that's kind of fun to see that.
Well, also they changed out the daughter, the Lannister daughter.
Mm-hmm.
They changed her out.
So
the first season daughter is different, but
things like this happen. You know, it doesn't bother me. But the Nork scenario is great. I don't know the actor. I don't know the character was talking shit to Ramsay Bolton, but I love the whole thing. That was that was hilarious. Every other word is like cunt, you know. And Americans cannot say that word without being mean. But
if you have a British accent,
oh man, it's just so classy when they say cunt, isn't it?
If you have a British accent, yes. Or Australia, you can have an Australian accent, Scottish, you know, you can have Irish. But so, if you say it as an American, you don't sound nice.
But I really enjoyed that a lot, and it was trippy when the red woman looking at Jon Snow, just her eyes, you know, just can't. She's not like, yeah, motherfucker, I know what the fuck I'm doing. I brought that son of a bitch back. But she's just like, oh my God, it worked. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, she can't believe. We all haven't that ever happened to you? Like, you hold a certain position. You know you think you're right, but you don't know you're right until it actually happens. And when the few times that happened to me in my life, like, I knew I was right. But like, it's surprising, you know, when it happens the way you think it's going to happen, you know.
I always look shocked when I bring people back to life, Yoshi. Always. I'm always surprised when it happens.
So that was great. And Ollie's dead. Good. I hated that little kid. Not the actor. He's a fine actor. But I'm glad he died. And that was terrific. Fucking backstabber.
I'm surprised that they have showed Sam and his little girlfriend, what's her name? Kelly or what's her name?
Jilly
or whatever.
Samuel Tarly.
Yes. Sam and his little adopted son and his girlfriend or whatever before they showed Peter Baelish. Like, I mean, no offense to Sam's storyline. I you know, he was the main character, but I'm a little shocked that they threw that storyline in. And, you know, we haven't seen Sansa this episode, really. We didn't see her at all, right?
No.
And we haven't seen Peter Baelish.
You didn't see Yara from the Greyjoys?
Yes.
You didn't see Littlefinger? You didn't see Sansa and Brienne and Podrick?
That's the only problem with having so many storylines, is that every episode they can only focus on a couple storylines.
But you know which character's been on the Game of Thrones the most?
Daenerys.
Tyrion.
Tyrion?
He's been in every episode, they were saying.
And I'm kind of tired of like going back and forth to wherever Daenerys is. Like, I kind of don't. Her storyline is really slow.
It's just boring. Just like I like the girls who play Sand Snake and everything, but Dorne, it was just like I'm bored with it. You know, I hate the fact that they kill the older brother.
I want to see interesting people. I want to see the whorehouses. I want to see the brother from Dorne that got killed. He was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, he was like bisexual and like kind of crazy and kind of weird and wacky. Like
Wait, you're talking about the older brother, right?
The older brother that got killed in the fight with him.
No. He's the younger brother. Oh, you're talking about Oberyn Martell who got killed. Yeah.
He was
fought the mountain. Yeah.
Yes, he fought the mountain. Oberyn.
His older brother died last episode. Or was it two episodes?
It gets confusing, yeah. But Oberyn was
the
like
the wheelchair guy.
Yes, he got killed by the three sisters, right?
But here's the thing.
Oberyn was interesting. He was bisexual. He was crazy. He wore crazy outfits.
Very charming.
Like, I want to see interesting people. I don't want to see Khaleesi all dirty in like a hut. Like, it's boring. I'm sorry.
It's a boring narrative to me. I know she's very important. But going back to Dorne, the older brother, I think he was doing something behind everybody's back, scheming. That's the sad part about them killing him. They just assumed he wasn't doing shit. I really think he was doing something.
You mean they think he was too weak because he was just sitting in a wheelchair, but you think he was doing some Peter Baelish stuff?
He was scheming stuff behind everybody's back, planning a revenge and things like that.
Yeah, but you can't, you know, give your revenge away. They need to just trust him.
What's that?
You can't just give your revenge plot away. They need to trust him.
Right. That's why Dorne's going to go down the toilet, I think. They're just too easily, they're too emotional and they're rash and they don't think about short and long-term plans, you know.
But that's how Cersei was before, and she's kind of learning her lesson.
That's why she's going to have problem, because we were talking about this her father, who died 2 seasons ago, Tywin, he's the smart one. Everybody gave that place a credibility. As long as he was alive, you're dealing with a very smart, competent...
Nobody respects her brother.
No.
You know, everyone, they're in the High Council meeting and everyone walks out.
So, is there anything else we missed on that one? I think...
No, this episode was interesting, but
I wish we saw a little bit of Theon, but we didn't.
I like Theon. You know, yeah. I feel bad for him. He's got his dick cut off. I hope he rises again somehow. Obviously, he's not going to end up on the Iron Throne, but he is going to have some position of power now that his dad's dead.
Right. He's going to go home, and he's going to talk to Yara next episode, just like we're going to see Robin, who is being taken care of by Littlefinger. I don't know where that's going to go, but... it's complicated because Littlefinger was supposed... He was basically having Lannisters and Boltons kind of go at each other. So, episode 4 is going to be good. We're going to see people that we haven't seen before.
I hope so. Almost guaranteed
that Littlefinger will be there next episode.
I hope so. He's my favorite character. I'm waiting for the brilliant Littlefinger. Seasons 1 and 2, I didn't give a rat's ass about him. Season 3, 4, and 5, I started realizing what a brain he was, and I respect that.
I guess that's it for that for Game of Thrones, right? I mean, I'm biased. I'm gonna like it no matter what. But that fighting sequence was amazing. 2 Targaryen guards. I keep repeating myself, but that was pretty badass. Ned Stark was fighting that fighter.
It was badass for you because you're a guy. It was really disgusting for me, and the swords through their throats are really gross.
And fun. No. Well, I'm looking forward to the next episode. Of course, there's only 7 more episodes, right, for the season.
Yeah.
I wish I could just watch everything right now.
Well, that's what my friends are doing. They're not watching, and then they're going to binge watch at the end of the season.
Oh, how did they control themselves?
I have no idea.
That's disciplined. That's amazing.
They're crazy. I invited them over to come watch with us, and they said, "Nope, we're waiting till the end, and then we're going to binge watch."
I can't do it because somebody's going to open their mouths. And I'm gonna lose chance to be surprised, you know. Just like I ruined my friend's day by posting that shit. So.
Well, maybe they should watch it as soon as it comes out.
That's what I said. Well, Rosie, anything coming up? Because we did talk a little bit those 2 other books early on, but we might have just covered most of that.
No, the only thing is to support Yoshi's new comedy night, Night School, if you live in the LA area.
It's not my show.
It says right here, Yoshi, on the flyer. It says Branstein, Puga, Crumb, and Yoshi.
Well, it's no cover, 18 and up. There's drink specials. And
especially supported in 3 weeks when I'm on the show.
Yes. The Palm Tree in K-Town, 3240 Wilshire Boulevard. Come over and
support the show. Listen to my podcast, Out of the Box. Subscribe, like, leave positive comments for Yoshi.
Hey, I do remember something from the American Girls, Nancy Joselle, Girls and Sex, Peggy Orenstein. I remember this. So back when I was a kid, when you were a kid, especially in my time, people want to be liked, but especially girls. Girls like being liked. But these days, it's terrible because there's actually, if you have a social media, there's actual numerical number to tell you how many people say they like your pictures and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's really tough, I would imagine, on the girls. The more you have likes, more people like you. So I think a lot of the girls probably have the self-worth and how much they like themselves based on how much people say they like.
Well, also, people on the internet are sick, and we need to teach that to our kids because there was some little girl on YouTube singing, mm-hmm. like a 10-year-old girl. She was pretty good, actually, and there's all these comments, you suck, you're horrible, go kill yourself, and other things like that.
You read my comment.
And there was a big issue about it because the little girl was only 10 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the one side, if you can't handle the rejection, you shouldn't, or you think your kid can't handle the rejection, you shouldn't allow them to put those videos online. Or you can disable comments. You can actually disable comments on one side. On the other side, what the fuck is wrong with people that they're, you know, a little kid singing or whatever, sure. and they're putting all these negative comments. So I definitely think it's messed up, but... We need to teach our kids before they're posting online not to take everything in the online world so seriously because hey, there's people out there that are mentally ill and they'll post stuff online. I had a mentally ill woman sending me psycho stuff on Twitter, you know? So you can't take, you need to understand that that is a person that's posting, but that sure. person might not be mentally sound or may be crazy.
It's one of those weird things because we know people who benefit from internet. Like somebody put Russell Peters' video and next thing you know,
he went viral.
Yeah. But there's also other disadvantage because, you know, if you live in a little town with 200 people, 150, whatever, and if they don't like your music, there's 150 people who knows about it. But now, if people hate what you do, you could literally have billions of people not liking you. You know, so like, there's a advantage and disadvantage.
Like, I don't know if you remember that girl, Rebecca Black, who had a YouTube video. She was like a 15-year-old girl who did a music video. It went viral.
I don't remember her.
Like 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it went viral. She did a music video. She was like 15 or 16 years old. It was okay. It wasn't great.
Right.
But people, it became one of those viral things to hate. And so people would go on there, you suck, this is horrible, die, kill yourself, your song is horrible. And because it went viral, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people are posting out of jealousy. Yeah. You know, maybe there's a girl.
Trying to get kind of a reaction from
or
you,
a reaction.
Right?
Yeah. And so we need to teach kids that are posting stuff this whole psychology about it. With great, what's the thing that they say? With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah. So thank you, Mrs. Spider-Man. Yeah.
So in a way, you're giving someone great power because you're giving a little kid access to, what, 6 billion people? How many people are online? 5 billion?
6 billion.
Yeah. You're giving a little kid access to 6 billion people when you put something online.
Sure.
And you need them to understand that, you know, probably 4 billion of those 6 billion are wackadoodles. Let's face it, the world is not a great place. So,
well, the reason why I bring it up, because there was a case a couple months ago, this guy... There's two girls, I guess they're friends, or at least I think they were friends, but one of the girls' boyfriend started raping her friend.
Oh, yeah, and then she was recording it, right?
On a Periscope.
Yeah, on Periscope.
Because she wanted to get as many likes as possible. I don't know if it's true, but I mean, three or four things I read, they were saying that's the reason why she did it. Now,
she's
legally saying she was doing that to record crime.
So the story that's very similar, but the story is that she was thought she at first started recording it to help her friend with the crime, but then she got people started liking it and she got hooked into the likes.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, and she got caught up. She said when the police interview, she said I couldn't stop because I got caught up in the likes. So her desire to be liked, or for her video to be liked, overcame her sense of reality.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to stop the rape or whatever. And it's true. People get, they're addicted. You know, there's scientific study after scientific study, social media is bad for you. People become addicted to it. People get high when they get a like on a picture.
Sure.
They get a little, it's like a cigarette drag from a cigarette, or like you're smoking. You get a little bit high for 2 seconds.
Sure.
So, but we're not being responsible as a society when we don't teach kids about that, and they're just doing it. And their kids are not adults; they don't know. They just know it feels good when someone puts like on their picture.
Well, recently Louis C.K. did something interesting, which is he haven't been on the internet for over a month, and it's a reverse role because usually parents put all this restriction on access to the internet where you can't check porn or whatever to the kids, right? Well, he asked his daughter to put all the restriction on his phone so he can't use the internet anymore on his cell phone, you know? He said, it's great. I don't know a lot of things. I don't know what's going on in the world. It's great. When somebody said, did you hear about something that something happened? Like, oh, tell me about it. He really doesn't know. And he feels like he's more attentive. His daughter even wrote him a written letter saying, thank you. You're paying more attention to me.
You're being
a
better dad, right?
Yeah. So that's interesting. But you're right. I mean, after reading this stuff and talking to people, every time I talk to someone, I try to put cell phone away. But we have a mutual friend that just can't, you know, even we have trying to have a conversation, we'll always check the cell phone. So
I think a lot of people listening to this podcast have mutual friends that are constantly checking their cell phone.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people listening to this podcast may be that mutual friend that's always checking their cell phone.
So I'm trying to do a list of that. You know, I think these days I'm 50-50 checking stuff on the internet and other 50% listening to podcasts. I'd rather listen and walk around and do stuff than just, you know, abusing my thumb.
Yeah,
you know?
Actually my hand gets cramps when I'm on the phone too much.
Yeah. I guess unless you have anything more. This is going to be such a shit episode. We were just all over the place.
Thanks, Yoshi. You? That's what you think of me. First of all, every podcast I've ever done with you were all over the place. So I don't know what you're talking about.
That's true.
We've never, ever been on topic, ever.
Before we finish, you want to mention your website and all your podcasts and stuff that people could start following you?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Funny Rosie or on Instagram, Out of the Box Rosie. My podcast is Out of the Box Podcast. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. and Yoshi just had ice cream, and he was so happy eating ice cream at my house. He was like a little schoolboy.
Yep.
It was very good ice cream.
It's delicious. Thanks, Andrew.
You just don't want this episode to ever end.
No, it's about an hour, I think. It's close enough. Well, like I said, I'm going to Seattle 3 or 4 episodes, maybe Ico ones. Hopefully, maybe if you have a chance, one more. But
Ico was supposed to come here tonight, but she was working.
She's
so
flaky.
It could have been a double Asian penetration of Yoshi.
But this coming Tuesday, on the same day of the show, May 10th, they're going to check my blood for the second time. If I qualify, I get locked up from May 23rd to June 16th, which is my birthday. So I'm sure I already said that. But yeah, that money would provide me enough money for probably 4 or 5 months. So that's what I do. You know, I drink and I don't know shit.
You're the opposite of Tyrion.
Yeah, I give my blood and get locked up like a criminal.
You guys both have big heads, though.
I know. All right. Sorry. I'm kind of spacing out. I got to go do a show. And I think it's about an hour. And we talk here and there. But this is so funny. Anyway.
Guys, listen to Yoshi Din. It's going to end in a couple episodes. Come on.
So,
Send Yoshi some money.
Yeah, yoshidin.com, send money. But anyway, thanks. You don't have anything to promote beside that?
No, just go on my website and Twitter and Instagram podcasts, and if I have shows, I post them on there.
All right, thanks, guys. And who knows, maybe we could do one where, bonus one with the last episode, where when we watch the last episode of this season, we'll just do half an hour or something. But anyway... Guys, sorry. Sorry once again. We're all over the place. And sorry that I haven't put anything 6 weeks. But thank God when this thing's over, it'll be over. Just like when Jon Snow was dead. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. And I will talk to you guys soon. Bye.